week, Bunter the Hero. Hello, hello, hello.
What is it, Jerry?
I spy Bunter.
Oh, yes.
Bob Cherry was glancing back from the stile in Friardel Lane. In the distance behind, a fat figure came plugging along the lane from Greyfriars School. William George Bunter was on the trail of the picnic.
Wait for him to come up and jolly well squash him.
No good, Bull. He's not coming up. He knows better than that. I say, I've got a wheeze. Sit down a bit. We've got plenty of time.
I say, you fellows!
Hello, hello, hello.
You'll be late for the picnic if you don't get on.
Oh, it's only a couple of miles to Peg Green.
But we're not going.
Shush, shush, Bull, Bull.
Oh.
The row of juniors on the stile smiled. The picnic was to take place at the old priory in Friardel Wood.
Now look here, Bunter. If we see you at Peg Green, we'll jolly well burst you.
Oh, really, Cherry?
And if you follow on through the wood, we'll wait for you and bash you against a tree.
Beast!
The dear man's heading for Peg Green. I hope the walk will do him good. May bring down his fat.
Bunter decided that all he needed to do was take another route to Peg Green and keep clear of the others until the picnic was going on. Then he would roll up and join in as per program.
Oh, dear! Oh, it can't be much further.
Buy a coconut, sir.
Who said that?
Bunter paused and blinked round him. On a patch of grass by the side of the lane, a gypsy caravan was drawn up and a bony horse was nibbling the grass along the hedge. And a dark-skinned gypsy was sitting against a tree, smoking a dirty pipe. There was a basket before him filled with coconuts.
Coconuts, sir, only fourpence.
Bunter eyed the coconuts and the gypsy through his big spectacles.
Oh, twopence?
Bunter fumbled in his pockets. Owing to the non-arrival of a postal order which the Owl of the Remove had been expecting for a very considerable time, he was suffering from a dearth of that useful article, cash. There were 3 pennies in Bunter's pocket. That was the sum total of his wealth.
Make it, threepence then, hey?
Threepence, sir.
Yeah, you see, I've left my money at home. I mean, I've been disappointed about a postal order. I mean, I left my wallet in my study with all my notes in it. So, fact is, I've only got threepence.
I'll find a small one for you, sir. Here you are. Thank you kindly, sir.
Bunter plugged on with the coconut under his arm. A score yards farther on was the level crossing, of which the gates were closed for the passing of the next train.
No, level crossing's closed. Oh, bother. I don't know. Can't see a train. Oh, well, might as well take a break. Just time, for a coconut. Jolly good.
Bunter stopped and leant on the gatepost and opened his pocket knife to negotiate the nut.
Right, here we go. Just a little jab. Here we are. Ooh, coconut milk. I love it. It's delicious, delicious, delicious. Yum, 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 yum.
He jabbed the blade of the knife into the softest spot, excavated it, and placed the nut to his mouth to allow the juice to flow into his thirsty and capacious mouth.
Yuck, yuck. Oh, crikey, it's a rotten coconut. The awful beast. Oh, dear. That rotten gypsy. I'll jolly well show him.
Billy Bunter stuttered and spluttered and spat, going off almost like a squib. In great wrath, he clutched the empty coconut and plugged back to the gypsy camp.
Rotten!
You want a lot for your thruppence, sir. I got better ones than that for 4.
You look here, you. You just give me another nut for this rotten one.
I'm a poor man, sir. I can't afford to give nuts away.
Well, give me my money back, then.
I don't think.
Oh, you rotten swindler.
You what?
You're a thief. I'm going to tell the police about you.
Right, you walk it. You walk it before you get hurt, see?
Now, look here!
Hook it!
Give him another nut, Joseph.
This came from a woman in a shawl looking round from the caravan steps.
You shut your mouth, Jenny. Look at you, or I'll give you a right hiding.
Oh, leave him be, Joseph.
You beast! I say, don't you dare! Oh, no, no! Oh, get off!
Joseph made a stride towards him, twirling a stick. That was enough for William George Bunter. He took to his heels at once and scuttled away towards the level crossing. Joseph grinned and sat down to his pipe.
Beast! Ow!
Gasped Bunter from the safety of the level crossing. He was as thirsty as ever. He had an extremely nasty taste in his mouth, and, in addition, he was feeling very ill-used and irritated.
No!
Somewhere in the distance sounded the whistle of an approaching train, and though it was still out of sight round a curve, Bunter sagely decided to let it pass before he crossed the line. He wiped his perspiring face with his handkerchief and leant on the gate to wait for the train to pass. And then...
Oh, little girl! Oh, no!
Billy Bunter became aware of it all of a sudden. It was seldom that Bunter forgot himself in his own troubles and grievances, but at that moment, Bunter, for probably the first time in his life, completely forgot his own worthy self. His fat face became suddenly fixed with horror as he stared at the railway line in front of him. In the middle of the line was a little girl of about 4 or 5 years old. She had gathered flowers in her hands and was making them into a bunch, fastening them with grasses, evidently utterly oblivious of the peril of her position.
Oh, crikey! Oh, little girl! Get off the line!
The boom of the approaching train was in his ears, but it had not aroused the little gypsy, deeply engrossed in bunching her flowers. The train was in sight now, sweeping on round the curve, its horn blaring. Still the child did not move, and still Bunter, petrified with horror, was motionless. William George Bunter was known at Greyfriars as a grub raider, as a fat slacker, as a funk of the first water, a fabricator who left Ananias and Baron Munchausen in the shade. He was known as a fellow who never even thought of stirring a fat finger on account of any other inhabitants of the earth. He'd been known to flee from the wrath of a third-form fag. He had taken more kicks than he could ever have counted, though certainly not so many as he deserved. And yet, somewhere buried deep under Bunter's layers of fat, there was a spark of genuine British pluck. For all of a sudden, Billy Bunter, as if moved by a hidden spring over which he had no control, bounded out upon the railway line. As if moved by a volition that was not his own, he raced to the metals with a terrible boom of the train deafening his fat ears. He snatched up the child and staggered forward. He plunged on blindly, crossing the metals with the child in his arms, staggered clear on the farther side, and fell headlong, the child still in his clutch.
Oh, I say! Oh, oh, I say! Oh, oh, that was Johnny Clark! Oh, oh, I say!
You saved her!
Oh, what the thump! Oh,
you saved my little Minna.
What? Oh, crikey! Oh, no! Oh, I bruised my knees! I tore my trousers! Oh, dear!
You saved her life, Joseph! I saved her! You dear, brave boy! She would have been killed! I saw her from the caravan when I heard the train coming! Joseph! I looked round and it was so close!
I beg your pardon, sir. You're a good one, you are, sir, and I'm sorry I was uncivil, sir.
He said, oh, Minna Joseph, she would have been killed. A brave boy mother been killed. A brave boy.
The kid back to the van and see she don't wander again. You're a good pluck than you are, sir. I don't know how to thank you for what you've done, sir.
Bunter had pulled himself together a little by this time. It dawned upon his mind that he had done a very plucky thing. Very plucky. Quite out of his line, as it were. He began to swell.
It's quite all right, my man. You're very, very welcome. Now, look here, if you feel so jolly thankful, you can jolly well give me a good coconut, right?
Certainly, sir, the old basket, if you like, arter what you've done.
Billy Bunter selected 3 of the fattest nuts, as many as he could carry with comfort, the gypsy watching him very curiously. Probably it struck him that Bunter's present proceedings were rather out of keeping with his heroic rescue of little Minna. But certainly they were more in keeping with Bunter's usual character.
Yeah, as many as you like, sir.
Unfortunately, I can't carry more than three, can I?
Ever so much obliged to you, sir.
Well, it's all right. Any fellow who knows me, they're going to tell you I'm as brave as a lion.
Oh.
Fact is, danger's nothing to me. In fact, I'd rather enjoy it.
Oh.
And Bunter started once more for Peg Green. Joseph the Gypsy stared after him very curiously.
Beasts!
William George Bunter made that remark not once, but many times.
Beasts! 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 Beasts!
He had haunted Peg Green for several hours. During those hours, he had waited and watched for the Grey Friars picnickers, and they had not turned up. He saw it all at last. All the while he was waiting about at Peg Green, the picnic was going on somewhere else, miles nearer to Grey Friars in all probability. It was all too terribly clear now, and Bunter's feelings were almost too deep for words.
Oh, beasts! Those rotten fellows, they've pawn over on me! Oh, bother!
He moved at last, and dragged tired, fat legs along on his return journey. He made it a point, after passing the level crossing, to call in at the gypsy camp. If Joseph the gypsy was still in a grateful mood, Bunter was prepared to raid his basket of coconuts to the full extent of Joseph's gratitude.
Oh, scissors! I'm gone! Hello! Hello! No! Oh, I'm hungry.
The van was gone. Joseph was gone, Mrs. Joseph and the little girl were gone. All these details did not matter, but the coconuts were, of course, gone also, and that was serious. Bunter blinked at the deserted spot, groaned, and walked on.
Oh.
6 Grey Friars juniors came along from the direction of Cliff House School. Bunter stopped and blinked at them. They stopped. And Bob Cherry grinned at Bunter.
Hello, hello, hello. I do believe it's Bunter.
Hello, old fat bean.
Ha! Hello, bull.
Had a nice walk.
Beast!
Lovely scenery at Peg Green. I hope you enjoyed it, Bunter, but what have you been doing with yourself, old fat man? You've cut the knees off your bags and burst off a lot of buttons from your waistcoat. Been taking a tumble somewhere?
I fell down on the railway line. Had a jolly narrow escape, Wharton.
You silly ass. Mean to say that you went over the level crossing when a train was coming?
I dare say you would have let the kid be run over, wouldn't you? Well, that's not my style.
Eh? What kid?
Gypsy kid. She was on the metals, and the train was coming, and I rushed forward just in time, too.
What?
Yes, I barely had time to get clear. I fell with the kid in my arms, just out of reach of the train. But you fellows wouldn't have done it.
Well, no. We haven't your imagination, old chap.
Silly ass. It's true. You can jolly well ask those gypsies if you don't believe me.
Where are they? Produce the gypsies.
They were camped in the lane, just by the level crossing.
What about walking round that way and asking the gypsies?
Well, they've gone now, haven't they?
Yes, I rather fancied they would be gone if we walked round and have a look at them.
The gunfulness would be terrific.
You silly owls. I mean, do you think they'd stay on there forever? I mean, just because I saved their kid from the train? We're awfully grateful, actually. That man, he gave me some coconuts.
He should have given you a cake. You take the cake, Bunter.
Where's the giddy rewards of valour, then, eh? I don't see the coconuts.
Well, I've eaten them, you ass.
Well, that part sounds true. If there was anything eatable about, I'm ready to believe that you ate it.
Oh, look, I tell you...
Keep it till we get in. We shall be late for callover if we stay here listening to Bunter's fairy tales.
No.
Tell us again in the...
Bunter was paying the penalty of untruthfulness. From the glories of Bunter Court to imaginary combats with ferocious bargees, Bunter had told the tale many a time and oft, and he had told it not wisely, but too well. Now, at long last, he was handing out the truth, and it was merely rewarded as Bunter's latest. ¶¶ You've been listening to Billy Bunter by Frank Richards with Timbrook Taylor, Graham Garden and Bilotti. The producer was Melanie Miller. Billy Bunter is a Rewind production for Radio 2.